ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Lightning flashing throughout the sky, the thunder, rain was hitting the windows. It's pretty incredible. And I was just crying out to God, literally crying, because it was so devastated. It wasn't like this audible voice, you know, that I heard, but I knew God was speaking to me. And this is what he told me, and it's so simple, and it's right out of the scriptures. My grace is sufficient. That's all he said. My grace is sufficient for you. And it brought great peace to my life. Because, okay, Lord, you're right. I'm focused on all the storms that are happening in my life right now. I'm trying to figure this out. And he said, you're going to see me through. That's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's like Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Look at that. Jesus said in him we could have peace. And if it ended there, we'd be like, yes. But no, it says in the world you'll have all kinds of happiness and joy. Oh no, it says tribulation. You got to be kidding me. No. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Get your perspective. Correct it. Look to me. Great peace. John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you to you. Not as the world gives to you, gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world gives a pseudo peace, don't they? But Jesus gives true peace. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be troubled because we can rest in him. And that's what Paul says here in Philippians 4:7, that as we give these things to the Lord, as we lay them at his feet with thanksgiving, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know why I get amazed when I read the Word of God, but I do, because I'm fascinated how God gets to the heart of the matter. Paul says that this peace that is from God will guard our hearts. What does that mean? It's our emotions, right? Our emotions. We are not anxious, fearful, because his peace is guarding our hearts. I mean, think about our emotions. We can get them racing and they could be all over the place depending on the situations we're facing. I remember, you know, growing up as a kid, I don't know why my parents did this, but they made me take violin lessons at school. Oh my gosh, you know, but, you know, being a boy, you know, you've got the little things on the side to tighten the strings to make them in tune. You know what happens if you tighten them too much? Oh, yeah, they pop. Yeah, they break. And I broke mine. And oh my gosh, my heart must have been going at 200 beats a minute. I was terrified. I put it back in the case and went to bed that night. I couldn't even sleep. My heart was racing. I was out of control. I was so emotional. And the next morning, I had to tell my parents because, and they're like, well, I guess we'll have to get it fixed. I'm like, what? You're not going to kill me? All that worry, right? For what? Nothing. Dead emotions. And I think many times that happens with us. I like also that Paul says this peace guards our mind, our thoughts. I thought my parents were going to kill me. That's what was going through my mind. I'm dead. I'm sure they're going to tie rocks to my feet and throw me in the lake. That'll be it for me. They're Italian, sorry. The enemy can't mess us up with our thoughts if we're focused on the Lord and his word. Can we trust what he's telling us? If we start to focus on everything that we're going through, yeah, it is going to be tough. I thought this was interesting. One of the surveys I read showed that 8% of what people are worried about is legitimate. 92% of what we worry about is foolish. It's not going to happen. Wow. We're letting 8% control our lives instead of the Lord. Well, what about this? What about that? What am I going to do? Give it to the Lord. Let his peace fill, guard your emotions, guard your mind. And a peace that surpasses all understanding will come to you. You'll have rest. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I think the Lord can handle all our issues of life, don't you? I mean, he created the heavens and the earth. I think he can handle my problems. But what should we focus on? Yes, okay, we're to give it to the Lord, but what do we fill our lives with? That's what Paul talks about next. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What are you filling your life with? The things of God? You know, there's that old adage, computer adage, garbage in, garbage out. And it's kind of funny that I say it's an old adage, but it is. But it's very applicable. What are you filling your mind with? Because what you fill your mind with, that's what will come flowing from your life. Paul's saying, instead of filling your mind with the garbage of this world, meditate or take an inventory of these things in your life. Things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, proper, praiseworthy. Absolutely. In Romans 12:2, this is from the New Living Translation, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. Allow the word of God to fill your life. Fill yourself up with good things that are going to benefit you and not hurt you. You see, what we meditate on, what we focus our minds upon really matters. I'll give you an example. A few years back, I used to watch, you know, Fox News Channel fairly regularly. I was an angry man. It made me mad and furious at what was going on in this country. I was so aggravated, and yet I was compelled to watch it. It was kind of like a train wreck, I guess. I don't know. And as I thought about it, I'm like, what in the world am I doing? I'm filling my mind up with this stuff, and I understand what's going on, but here's the problem with that. They don't give any solutions. They're just telling you all the garbage that's out there. What's the solution? It's Jesus. I don't watch it anymore. We don't get the channel anymore, which is probably good. The Lord helped me out on that. I don't even watch national news anymore because I get aggravated over it. It's not that I don't find out what's going on in the world. We should be aware of what's going on. But I also know what's going on when I look at the scriptures and I see what the last days are going to be like. I mean, I was just finished up on the part two of our prophecy update that we're going to do on New Year's Eve. You guys will be here till 2021, I think. There is so much, and there's always something new. So I'm kind of just said, okay, that's it. We're stopping now, of course, unless something big comes up. But it's amazing when you look at the things that are happening in the world. You know, when I first got saved, prophecy, you see a little something here, a little something there. Now it's all the time you're seeing how all these things are lining up together. That's incredible, and it's encouraging. I look at the world and I go, wow, Lord, things are happening just as you said they would. Things aren't falling apart. They're going according to your plan. And it gives me great hope and encouragement, and I could share with others what God is doing. And I like what Paul says in verse 9 here of Philippians 4. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, you know all this stuff already. Now do it. Okay, do it and allow God's peace to fill your life. Don't get off track. Don't lose perspective. In Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, Paul put it like this. He said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In other words, let God's peace rule your heart. Don't let that worry control your life. Well, as we read on here in Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13, Paul's going to show us how we're not to worry because of the power, verse 14, through the power of God in our life. Look at verse 10 here. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. So Paul's talking about this gift of Philippians sent to him by Epaphroditus. He spoke of it in Philippians 2:25. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, the one who ministered to my need. As we read on here, we're going to see again that this gift was sent to Paul. He's not rebuking them, saying that they were insensitive to his needs before. They wanted to help. They just lacked the opportunity to do so, and that happens. And Paul's saying, you know, I rejoice in the Lord, man, that you're able to help me out. Praise God you're able to do that. And Paul's point is simple. He says, well, you know, it doesn't matter what state I'm in. Whatever happens to me, I'm content. Isn't that interesting, contentment? Paul was content. And look at people in our country today, how discontent they are. We have more than most people throughout the world have, and we're discontent. Why? Because things don't bring contentment. The Lord does. And I think apart from Christ, you'll never attain that contentment. You don't look to the world. You look to the Lord. And Paul, when he had a lot, it was great. When he had nothing, praise the Lord, didn't matter. God's in control. He'll take care of me. I'm content. Not a theoretical idea. This is how Paul lived out his life. Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs put it this way in regard to contentment. He said, Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Yeah, trusting in God. He'll take care of us. Jesus said in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. So you want to try and do things on your own? Good luck. But if you want to do things by abiding in Christ, man, you'll have much fruit. And God will provide exactly what you need. Isaiah 40, verses 29 and 31. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's not our strength. It's not our might. It's the Lord. So if we can rest in him and trust in him, there's tremendous peace in that. It doesn't matter what we're going through. We can be content. And I think that's important, guys. And I realize sometimes it's really difficult, but remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like that. You know, Jesus, like his father, was a carpenter. We think that, you know, people think they built homes, but they didn't use wood to build homes. They used rock, right? So what is carpentry? I think he made yokes for the animals, and they were probably the best yokes ever. And he says, look, take my yoke, the one I fashioned for each one of you, and place it upon your lap. And I will guide you and direct you, because my yoke is easy and my burden's light. The perfect yoke God has placed upon our lives. I like that. I love that about the Lord. What a wonderful God we have who cares that much for us. Look at verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Now, Paul is speaking of his ministry in Philippi some 10 years earlier when the church got started and how generous they were in their giving to Paul, supporting the work of ministry. And Paul says, look, I'm not really seeking the gift because I know God will supply my needs. But boy, what's really great is the fruit that would come to these Philippian believers as they freely gave to the work of God. Because their giving was done out of love, not constraint. They weren't using the Lord like some kind of stock market or, you know, get-rich scheme like some do today. But they gave out of love, and God was going to bless them with much fruit. Not necessarily monetary in value, but people getting saved through the work that Paul was doing. That was their fruit. They shared in it. Whatever you've done to the least of these brethren, you have done to me, Jesus said, right? As we give to the missionaries out in the fields that are, you know, in China and Russia, or not Russia, the Ukraine and Jordan and other places, India, Africa, Haiti, we're supporting the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ going out. And as people get saved, as they're built up in the faith, as they go out and bring the gospel to others, that's fruit from our labor. Wow, how awesome how God works. I love that. Paul says it was a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Absolutely. Look at verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I like what Spurgeon said about this. He kind of summed it up for us because some have taken that to unbiblical conclusions. But this is what he wrote. He says to them, you have helped me, but my God shall supply you. You have helped me in one of my needs, my need of clothing and of food. I have other needs in which you could not help me, but my God shall supply all your need. You have helped me, some of you, out of your deep poverty, taken from you your scanty store, but my God shall supply all your need out of his riches and glory. Notice that God will supply our need as we give for the work of ministry. Not what we want, but what we need. The idea is contentment in whatever God has given to us. But I like that God gives us exactly what we need for the work that he wants us to do. Believe me, in 24 years of ministry, I've seen it over and over and over again, how God opens a door. We don't know how we're going to do it, but he wants us to take the step of faith, and there it is. God provides. Hudson Taylor said, when God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will not lack for God's supply. Absolutely. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And again, it's not necessarily material things, wealth, but boy, that fruit that comes forth from as we share the resources that we have. God provides. Warren Wiersbe kind of gives us this example. He said, a young pastor came to a church that had been accustomed to raising its annual budget by means of suppers and bazaars and the like. He told his officers he could not agree with their program. Let's pray and ask God to meet every need, he suggested. At the end of the month, pay all the bills and leave my salary to the last. If there isn't enough money for my salary, then I'm the one who suffers and not the church. But I don't think anybody is going to suffer. The officers were sure that both the pastor and the church would die, but such was not the case. Each month, every bill was paid, and at the end of the year, there was a surplus in the treasury for the first time in many years. Absolutely. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God doesn't fail. I am not one to call, you know, have fundraising and all that. When there's a need in the church, when there's a big thing going on, like when we purchased this building or when we put up the radio tower, I'll say it a few times on a Sunday, on a Thursday, and that's the end of it. Here's the need. If you want to help out, pray about it. If God wants us to have it, he'll provide it. End of story. There's no beating up the sheep. It's trusting in God. Most important thing we can do. Because he'll supply what he wants us to do. Verse 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, think about it. Paul's spoken in regard to what God has given to us, how he supplied all of our needs. And then he gives us this brief doxology or short praise of God. And he goes, amen, or so be it. I mean, he's excited what God is doing. And then he says in verse 21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Again, Paul's just sending greetings from all the believers. And he talks about Caesar's household. What is he saying? Well, remember, Caesar, his household, his guards were ruthless killers. But again, remember, these Roman soldiers were getting saved. Someone of Nero's own family had come to saving faith of Jesus. And that was okay for a time with Nero until he turned against the Christian faith. He murdered, burned to death members of his own family who had become Christians in around 64 AD. Point for Paul here is, look, the work of God continues on, even in prison. Look at these guys, send your greetings. Caesar's household, they got saved. And he closes with this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I'll give you this question before we close. Why does Paul begin and end this letter with the grace of God? Because the Christian life begins with grace, it ends with grace, and everything in between, our salvation and glorification, is because of the grace of God in our lives. Never forget that. It's not about us. It's not about how great we are. You know, God's not in heaven going, yo, that Pastor Joe's a great guy. We just got to keep helping him out. No, I'm just a servant. I've told you before, I mean, God used a donkey to speak to Balaam in the Old Testament. The funny thing to me about Balaam is he just listens to the donkey. Me, I'm like, oh my gosh, my donkey's speaking. But it didn't even trouble him. So if God could use a donkey, he could use any one of us, including me. It's all about grace. It's, I don't deserve this. You don't deserve it. It began with grace. It continues on with grace. And one day we are taken to glory all because of the grace of God. Remember Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets? You know, he was concerned about all that was going on. You know, Lord, what are you doing? You know, what's happening here? And the Lord's like, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. He's like, oh, yeah, I will. He said, okay, well, the Babylonians are going to come into the southern kingdom of Judah. They're going to take you captive. I don't believe it. All right, didn't I tell you that? And by the time we get to the end of Habakkuk, in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, look at the perspective he has. Things were not well there. It was turmoil. And he says this, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. It's not about everything that's going on around here. It's about my relationship with him and the peace that he can give me in the midst of the turmoil, knowing that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's remembering that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to keep the perspective. We need to keep the focus and allow the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Powerful lessons as Paul closes this letter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this evening and just the encouragement because, Lord, I'm sure many of us are going through tough times and it's so easy to lose focus and to be so overwhelmed by what we're going through that as big as you are, we block you out of our view and we don't see you anymore because the situations are in front of us. And we need to put those situations down and we need to look up and understand you're in control. And no matter how tough it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, you will see us through. It's your promise to us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. You have what's best for our lives. And even though I may not understand it, I rest in the fact that I know you're a loving God and you love me more than I will ever know. And you have what's best for my life. Thank you, Lord, for being my God. Thank you for your grace and mercy that you've extended to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.